If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben and this is Sia. So here's a question for you. How do you create trust? And how do you make sure that you maintain it? Now, trust is hard to make. It's easy to break. And it's almost impossible to recreate. I find that once somebody has broken my trust, getting me to trust them again is extremely difficult. Doesn't matter how much I try. When I have had my trust broken, when somebody has done something, and it doesn't matter what, it could be big, it could be small, I find that I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm second guessing. I'm rechecking to make sure and verify that they do what they say and they say what they do. And that trust is a factor that they may never get again. They may never truly and absolutely have my trust where I can sit there going, yeah, go ahead, I trust you. Go ahead, I trust you. No problem. Go ahead. You know, you're not going to overcharge me. You're not going to take an extra 4 weeks to do something that you said would happen in two. You're not going to, you know, leave me hanging in the middle of a project, whatever. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Cause I know if you tell me that something's going to get done, it's going to get done. And there's very few people in this world that I truly and absolutely trust 100% to do what they say and say what they do. Because sometime over our career or a relationship or whatever, they have done something that has poked a hole in that trust. So Sia, let's gnaw on this.
I'm in a mood today.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to say it. It is interesting when you're thinking about interpersonal relationships. So that's a Ben and Sia only, one-on-one type of relationship. Mm-hmm. It is so imperative to have trust between one another, right? And it's also trusting that we're fallible in that
yes.
relationship and exchange, right? So let me challenge it a little bit. Let me extrapolate that a little bit out. It's shocking and crazy to me when we think of it in the broader terms as in groups.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if I'm a Sia working with a brand company, let's say, for example, I'm just going to make it up, Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't. Full disclosure, I have become an old person where, remember back in the day when we were kids, we're like, I want soda pop. Now I can kind of like do without soda pop. Anyway, sorry for the non sequitur. Anyway, but. And I'm not maligning Coca-Cola. I'm just saying because it's a recognizable brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's interesting that when you have like new recipe Coke that came out in the 80s, how quickly the fan base turned on Coca-Cola. Like what
yes,
the heck?
They did.
Crap on cracker is this little? Did no one do any taste tests? Did no one do any like? Market research to see how well mm-hmm. it would be received. You're taking a 100-year-old brand back then and you're thinking, oh, because we want to be cool with the 80s, we're going to evolve it, right? So I think the crazy part, though, is as much as that backlash was, Coke realized, oops, we done messed up Aaron. And they came back, right? And they came back
right.
with the original recipe and all that stuff. So...
And the question is, was that just a marketing ploy? And that some people call that was just a marketing ploy, an expensive one.
An
extremely expensive one. But the question is, did they do that on purpose or was that a whoops? I think it was a whoops.
I'm sorry. As conniving and manipulative as humans can be, that's a big gamble.
Oh, yeah.
And whoops a whoops, right? So I mean, it was a big whoops to me. 'Cause, well, come on. We worked with enough corporate companies where the left hand doesn't talk to the right hand, the thumb doesn't talk to the pinky on the same damn hand, okay? Like, no.
Thumb
But
doesn't talk to the index finger.
yeah.
Forget anything else.
Anyway, okay. So you're distracting me. But okay,
Know.
but and then extrapolate that even further though, with politics, right? One political party might do one thing, and the base of that political party could be like, "What? What the hell's wrong with you?" And I'm so tempted, but I'm not going to say anything.
Don't
Don't.
do it.
Don't.
Don't do it. Well, everybody has their own politics. Everybody has their own
No.
ideology and ideals.
And we don't
Stay
talk
out of
about
there.
politics. We don't dare to
No,
talk politics. But it
don't
is
do
funny
it.
though, how many times politicians can
Yes.
really poke at their fan base, and
Yes.
because of the grander things of I want to be part of this tribal community, political parties, they as po us pop us as population, we take it. We take it, and the loyalty is there. And it's crazy to me because it's like, wait, it's almost like, you know what it is? You guys are all a-holes, but you're my a-hole, so I'll back you
Yes.
up. And that's
Well,
the crazy part.
because I think the other side is worse than you are, and the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes.
And I think that there's that dynamic going on as well. I mean, there are people that can do no wrong. And whether it be politics or brands or whatever this is, they've built such a loyal tribe, and they've built it that they've built up a huge level of credibility that even when they do slip up, and they do, every
Oh, yeah.
brand does, people are willing to forgive them if they say, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the right step. We're sorry. We've heard you. Let's move forward. And I think that there's a lot of power in that, but you have to have built up the credibility to be able to have a fan base, whether it be a fan of one or a fan of 10 million, to be able to say, hey, mea culpa, sorry about that. We heard you. We're going back, or we're making this pivot, or whatever they're doing.
I want to say so much. I am trying to not get us canceled. I'm trying so hard here. Okay, let me ask you this. So, has there ever been a time in your lengthy career where you realized you had to tell your client, or you were at the company at the time, to be like, guys, we need a mea culpa. We need
Oh,
to do this.
absolutely.
And was it followed through on or not? Or you know what I mean? Like, have you said, guys, we need to do X, and did they do it? And if they did, how did it go? And if they did not, how did it go?
I mean, you forget, I wrote a book on leading beyond a crisis, conversation about what's next. I've got 15, 20 years of working in crisis management. The amount of times things have gone whoops in my career, and it's like, okay, what do we do now? I don't have enough fingers, toes, ears, maybe hair on the top of my head to count them all. Stuff, as the expression goes, excrement exists. The
Yes.
question is, what do we do now? And the companies that have survived and thrived are the ones that didn't necessarily listen to me, but had the wherewithal to say, hey, wait a second here. Maybe we've taken a misstep. Maybe we need to take three steps back. We need to listen to, evaluate, and articulate what we've done, why we did it, what our thought process is, why this went wrong, and what we're doing now. I mean, I look at Maple Leaf Foods, which was I wasn't part of this, and all disclosure, but Maple Leaf Foods in 20 plus years ago went through a huge listeria outbreak. People died. Okay,
Ooh.
people died. They didn't send the PR team to the or the lawyers to the microphone. The CEO went to the microphone. Okay, for weeks on end, he basically said, "This is what happened. This is what we're doing right now. This is what we plan to do. Here's what's being done. here's how we're moving forward. This is what we're doing to clean up the situation. And the companies ended up thriving. Yeah, it took a while. I mean, you had to get the trust back of the loyal clients, but they came back, and they came back in droves because he said, "You know what? We made a mistake. We did. We made a mistake. This is what we're doing to fix it. We want to make sure this never happens again." And I think when we're willing to say, "Oops, sorry," and sorry is a big part of it, this is what we're going to do next, and be able to follow up and follow through, we work our way through a crisis, and we work our way through brand reputation things. It's the companies that sit there and put their head in the sand and say, "Hey, not me, not my fault," and point fingers everywhere but Tuesday, and take absolutely no responsibility from the top, and just fire somebody. And I said, "Well, we fired the person that was that whose fault it was." Well, guess what? If the problem's big enough, it was systemic. Usually it
One,
wasn't just one person.
yeah.
But they're the person that's whose head
Fall
happened to be
guy.
on the chopping block.
Yep.
But we need to sit there and look at situations and go, okay, if we're ever going to get their people's trust back again, we need to act like human beings, and we need to act humanely, and we need to say, "You know what? Guess what? We miscalculated. We were wrong. This is what we're doing about it, and this is what we're going to do about it." And hopefully, if we keep saying that and we keep doing what we say we're going to do, we're going to get people's trust back. Now, sometimes it's ended up having to be so far gone that you ended up doing a complete rebrand and a refocus to be able to bury that old brand in the desert. To be able to try to, for lack of a better word, whitewash things and be able to move forward from that part, because that brand is just so tainted that there's nothing you can do about it. But you would have had to have screwed up really, really badly in most cases, because every company has some brand trust. If they had no brand trust whatsoever, they wouldn't make any money.
Well, because I think we're creatures of habit.
Course we are.
I think we're creatures of habit. You
I'm
would have to do
still
something.
using Windows. I'm not using Linux.
Oh, 100%. Like, and I'd be damned if I use anything Apple. So yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just everything you're saying, it just like I have so many like several thoughts that I'm like, yeah. And then, oh wait, stay positive. So I think what the ultimate thing is this. We are loyal to brands, are loyal to whatever as a group. We are willing to overcome that trust breach if we still get something out of it.
What have you done for me lately?
And I feel like even with personal relationships, it's harder with personal one-on-one relationships. But I do believe if there's something you can get out of that relationship, that's why people stick around. I mean, I think that's just the sad fact of things. And so why we're so forgiving, it's because we're benefiting in the end. It's meeting some need somewhere.
Trust fails when communication fails. When we stop talking to each other and we stop listening to each other,
Yeah.
trust is the next thing that goes. Or
Yes.
maybe trust goes because we stop listening to each other and because we stopped, speaking to each other. It is, people want to feel valued. People want to feel listened to. They want to feel understood. They want to feel that they matter and that you care about them. And whether that's a one-on-one situation or a 1 to 10 million type relationship. And people want to know that as a client, as a friend, as a lover, as a whoever, that you matter to the other person. And
Yeah.
that you just weren't being manipulative and you weren't just being mean, for no particular reason other than the fact that you could be mean or you could be manipulative. That it was actually not done on purpose, and it wasn't actually done with, malice aforethought.
Yeah, I'm in a mood. I can't. I'm about to say things I shouldn't be saying. No, Ben, I agree. Yes.
So let's leave it there.
Let's leave it there because I.
There's a good place to leave it.
Let's leave it there. I would like the audience to think about and chew on this as well, gnaw on this with us, because I feel
Absolutely.
like we could have definitely gone and again, we really should just do like, here's our thoughts on these series, and then just go about and like because each of our conversations, I feel like we need a part two or three or four. You know what I mean? But
Or
anyway.
we need a disclaimer. It says this is going into the political depths. This is going into the religious depths. This is going in, listen or don't listen. It's totally up to you. But here's your forewarning that this is where this conversation is going.
It's like a null on this after hours. Like
Perfect.
have your brandy in hand or a glass of wine, because it's gonna be a doozy. All
That's
right.
right. Everybody hold my beer because here I come.
Yeah, but you can't
Anyway.
cancel us based on that show. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. And I'm Ben.
I'm Sia.
And we'll see you soon.
Hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at iambenbaker.com or me at brilliantbeammedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Gnaw On This Business Bites.